one of the greatest scientists that ever lived. He invented the vaccine for cholera and anthrax, deadly diseases. But you know, this man was ridiculed, mocked, and made fun of, trying to gain the ways to figure out these vaccines. The medical profession disdained him. They wanted to shut him down. He was a scientist, and they were of the medical profession, and he knew nothing of the medical profession. He became discouraged because they mocked and laughed him to scorn to his face. But he reasoned within himself. Do we not all reason within ourselves and talk to ourselves? And he said, forget the murmurers, the complainers, the naysayers, and get to work. And so you know what he did? He went to work. And you know what we have as a result of his works? The vaccines for cholera and the vaccines for anthrax, deadly diseases. I don't care how much men make fun of you and disdain you, get to work. We're God. We are the very salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. There's no greater salt and there's no greater light. I'm getting some feedback here for some reason. Which one? This one? There we go. No greater light, no greater salt.
We'll just get it out of the way. Get it out of the way.
All right, get it out of the way. And all of the earth than the church. Do you know that this salt is a covenant relationship with God? Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 2. Every sacrifice had to be seasoned with salt, and it was a covenant of salt. When David became king, he had a covenant of salt, 2 Chronicles. And that covenant of salt meant that it was an everlasting kingdom. And that covenant signified his friendship to God, God's friendship to him, and also for the priests and the people. And so this covenant of salt that we have, because we are the salt of the earth, are we not? That's a covenant relationship with Almighty God that is never to be broken for any reason. And so you and I are to uphold this covenant of salt. There's no greater light, there's no greater salt on the face of this earth. The sun, that's a great light, isn't it?
Yeah.
Moon, the stars. Do we need them? Yeah. What happens if we don't have them? We're dead. Do you know that you and I are greater than those lights? Because they cannot bring eternal life. But you know what you and I have the ability to do? Because Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we have the ability to bring eternal life to a lost and dying world. That makes you a far greater light than any light on the face of this earth. Matthew 5, verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore, except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You and I are here to glorify God, not ourselves. That's why we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When the saints are taken off of this earth, the salt of the earth, you know what's going to happen to this earth? We preserve this earth. And when you and I are taken off, that's when Christ comes again, and we're caught up to meet Him in the air. Then sudden destruction will come upon them like the birth pangs of a woman, and they will not escape. You see how important the church is? There isn't any institution on the face of this earth that is as important as the church of Christ. You believe in her with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength, and you love her and you uphold her because Jesus Christ built her. He died for her. He was crucified for her. He offered up loud crying and tears in the garden. He was under pressure, sweating drops like it was blood. This is God in the flesh. I mean, I ever marvel that God came down out of heaven for you and me and gave His life so that you and I can go to heaven. In Mark 9, you know, men seek the glory of men. Did the apostles have a problem with this? Yeah, about three times. He wanted to be the greatest. Well, we're not here to see who can be the greatest. No. We're here to serve God. Mark 9, verse 33 says, "And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them, 'What were you discussing on the way?' But they kept silent. For on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. And sitting down, he called the ones to be first. And of course, he took a child and said, 'Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me.'" Then he told them about hell. I read that. I don't want to go there. Better to have your right arm cut off, your eye plucked out, your right foot. Don't you men get to arguing on who's going to be the greatest, because we're talking about eternity here. And we're talking about the souls of men and women. And then he says in verse 49, "For everyone will be salted with fire." As I studied this out, and I even conferred with some other men in the Lord's church to make sure that interpretation was right. Amen. As I understand this, that everyone is going to have trials, struggles, and difficulties. Mm-hmm. Every one of you in this room today will be salted with trials, with difficulties, persecutions. You want to live godly? Good. Just plan on being persecuted. The devil will make sure of it. And God will use it to strengthen you. The very difficulties that I've gone through have not made me weaker, but stronger. Well, should we grow stronger rather than weaker? If you're salted with difficulties and problems, just remember that all things work together for good. For those that love the Lord, for those that are called according to His purpose, and don't you ever give up. You understand that? I don't care what men do to you. And there's a man sitting down there. They beat up on him so many times. I didn't even ask him. I was telling him he's still preaching. I've watched him. He just stuck in there and been a blessing to my life. Well, should we stick in there? Do we depend on one another? I depend on you. You depend on me. I don't care if men complain about you and ridicule you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of his name. Rejoice! Be glad! What Jesus said. Ooh, boy, you better be a man of prayer, I'll guarantee you. Because if you're not, it'll whip you. I've been in church problems and difficulties. It's never made me weaker. Never made. It just confirmed what the Bible teaches. And I said, God, you are right. Men are sinful. They're sick. The heart is what? Sick. Desperately sick is what God says. Full of deceit. So don't you get weaker. You get stronger. And so you're going to be salted with fire. Just remember that. You're going to have difficulties and problems. And when you're salted with fire, you know what Peter says? Entrust your soul to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. What's the right thing to do? You still go to church. You still pray. You still take the Lord's Supper. You still read your Bible. You keep his commandments. That's the right thing to do. They went under fiery trials, is what Peter said, literally being set on fire. Here you and I bathe in luxury. And somebody says something and they get so mad they can't hardly stand it. No, just quit the church. I'll show them. You can just quit eternal life. Foolish. Verse 50 says, salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Are you at peace with your brother and sister in Christ this morning? Can you honestly say that? You say, if you're not, you're not in this covenant relationship of salt, because it is to preserve your love for God and for your fellow man. And because of time, I didn't turn to Leviticus and also in Numbers, the covenant of salt. To be salted, if you want to look those up, it's Numbers 8:19 and Leviticus 2:13, and David's was 2 Chronicles 13:5 is where those are located. And so to have salt in yourself, you must discipline your life for the purpose of godliness. So how are we not going to lose our salt? Number one, we're going to have Christ's attitude. That's in the book of Philippians, a passage we're all familiar with. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Won't you know our Lord was very humble. Coming down out of heaven, he was rich, but he became poor, that through his poverty, you and I might become rich. Are we rich because we're going to inherit eternal life? Yes, we are. And so you need Christ's attitude. Did Christ have an attitude of forgiveness? You be a forgiving people. You lose your forgiveness and you're on your way out. Yeah. I guarantee it. Yeah. And so you be a forgiving individual. It doesn't make any difference what people do to you. You look what they did to Jesus. I don't care what they say. I don't care how much they mock you. If you are right, which Louis Pasteur understood and knew he was right, and he knew what he was doing. Now, if you don't know you're right, and you don't know what you're doing, then you're probably going to give up. Yeah. Listen, we're on our way to heaven. This is eternal life forever. I'm kind of excited about that, aren't you folks?
Yes.
I mean, that's what we're living for. If you hate your brother, you are a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hate is of the devil. That's the spirit of the evil one. Love is the spirit of God. Notice in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. No one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it may be defiled, and by it many be defiled. And so when a person gets bitter, it says that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. So when people get bitter, do they cause trouble in the Lord's church? And they're not just satisfied to be the only one that's bitter. And so you know what they want to do? Well, they want to spread that bitterness around just a little bit. You know, we kind of like to share what we have, don't we? Well, that's what the Bible says. Share what you have. So we'll just share this bitterness with some other people. See if we can't get them bitter too. And we'll just all have a wonderful time. And it says, many be defiled.
Yeah.
I have seen bitterness start with one man and spread to the many.
Yeah.
And many lose their souls. And men of God are truly men of God. You're not going to defeat them. Forget it. They're going to take a stand. That's it. They've planted their feet. They know where they're going. They know what they're doing. And they're going to serve the living God. And so you have Christ's attitude. Amen? Nathan had a message on hospitality, and I had a lesson on hospitality. You know, my Bible says when he sent the apostles out in Matthew 12, if people don't receive you, and if the city doesn't receive you, you know what Jesus told those apostles to do? You just kick the dust off of your feet, go to the next city. And then you know what he said? It will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city. We better pay attention to what God says, amen?
Amen.
When men of God speak, you better listen to what they have to say. Because he says it's going to be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, personally, I wouldn't want to be in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah when God sent the fire down, would you?
No.
Well, I'll tell you something far worse coming than that. Well, number two, we need to uphold preaching. Do not despise the prophetic word. You love Bible preaching? Oh, I do too. I just love Bible preaching. And it says, don't quench the spirit. Don't despise the prophetic word. If you despise the word of God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to quench the spirit. Does the Spirit of God work with and through the word of God? Why, sure he does. On the day of Pentecost, what did he tell the apostles to do? Go into Jerusalem, you wait, they'll receive power from on high. And did he want them to preach? Well, sure he did. He wanted those men to preach. And so that's just exactly what they did. And when they preached, were men converted. We have 3,000 men converted because they loved the message. Listen, I have heard baptism preached so many times, I couldn't even count how many times. And you know what? I still love it.
Amen.
I love to preach it over and over again. It doesn't bother me to preach baptism. Listen, the world can take baptism out of their teaching, but they can't take it out of the Bible. And they can take the Lord's Supper out of their teaching, but they can't take it out of the Bible. It's there. And they can take holiness of living out of their teaching, but they can't take it out of the Bible. It's there. And you're going to the Lord's Supper, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know where you're going to find it? In the Church of Christ. That's where you'll find it. Well, I remember the first time I went. I just loved that message. I said, thank you, God, for that wonderful message. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. This is God's government, the church. Does he govern the church? Is Christ the head of the church? That makes him the leader, the ruler of the church. And his government is for how long? Forever. His government is never going to end. And within his government, do you know what he has commissioned men to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I want you to go to the whole world and I want you to preach that. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Who has all authority in heaven and on earth? Well, Christ does. He has all authority. You don't have it, and I don't have it. To change the word of God, you are usurping his authority. There's no greater authority than Christ's authority. He has it all. Should we surrender to that authority? Amen. Are you surrendered to that authority? Are you surrendered to the word of God? Whatever he says, that's exactly what you're going to do. That's what God wants. You obey him. Salvation is to all those that obey him. You want to be saved? Very easy. All you have to do is obey. Well, I want to tell you, your inner man can be a rascal. Yeah. Oh, boy, I want to tell you, you can get jealous and envy and strife and hate. All those ugly things in your life. And let's not kid one another. We all have a problem with it. And we all have to deal with it. And so you better deal with it exactly the way God says to deal with it and get it out. And you go to him in prayer and listen to the preaching of the word of God. When did Jesus get into trouble? The carpenter. And when he was out there pounding nails and sawing wood, I mean, people really gave him a hard time, didn't they? You know when he got into trouble? As soon as he started to preach, his own hometown disdained him, drove him out of there, were going to throw him over the brow of a hill and put him to death. Why? Because he was a carpenter? No. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its deeds are evil. You know, I love Bible preaching. And I want to hear Bible preaching. Because it just does exactly what God wants it to do in Hebrews 4. That it's sharp as a two-edged sword, piercing to the very marrow of the bone, able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And if you've got wrong intentions, it will manifest it. Have you ever had your thoughts, intentions manifested that were wrong when you come to church? Well, sure we have. We all have. You know what will get you right with God? Is when you hear it, you fess it up and say, "Forgive me, God." Easy thing to grow dull of hearing. Yeah. I think it was Van that taught on that, the assembly. Well, I'll tell you, that was excellent. And people growing dull of hearing, and all of the signs that he talked about the dullness of hearing, we preachers have seen. They'll hold their head down. Well, that's what you said, wasn't it, Van? Hold their head down and look up at you. What?
I said, "I didn't hear you."
Oh, yeah, they'll hold their head down and they'll even look. All kinds of mannerisms. Listen, God has appointed preaching to save them that believe. That's how important it is. Don't get a hard heart. Soften that heart.
Amen.
I just love to sit under preaching of the Word of God. Is it just, you know, your veins are just like a sewer. They just need to be rooted out. And they need to be cleaned out. You know the only thing that's going to clean them? It's the Word of God being preached. There isn't any greater power for your life than the Word of God to get you right. Now, that's the entire gospel, mind you. When I say the Word of God, I mean that includes the whole scope of God's divine plan. If there's anything as powerful as that, it will bring men under terrible conviction. We've watched men walk right down this aisle and weeping in tears.
Yeah.
Wanting to repent because they've heard the message and said, I'm guilty. Wanting to get right with God. And so, let's uphold Bible. Amen. Be conformed to the world. Want to hold our soul? Don't want to lose our soul? Don't you be conformed to the world. That's Romans 12. But you be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So that you can prove what the will of God is, that which is good and perfect and acceptable. You love the world or you love the church the most? Which one do you love the most, the world or the church? How do you know if you love the world more or the church more? This depends on which one you seek first.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said, seek first, His kingdom and His righteousness. And then all these things will be added. People are more interested in their job than they are in doing the will of God. You seek the kingdom first, and God will bless you. I'm just going to go out here and sit on top of a hill and hope that manna comes down out of heaven. It's not going to happen. My Bible says you work with your hands so that you will have what? No need. That's a part of the kingdom. We have to go to work and do the work. And so you stay out of the world. Don't you love this world, neither things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's find out whether you love the world or not. I don't remember who it was, but said you have absolutely no need for a television in your home. None. Zero. Do you agree? I don't have a TV in my home. I don't want one. Is there a need to go to the movies? We have people going to the movie theater. What about the dress? Is it a constant battle? Keep the dress right. It's a fight. Men will fight you on it. Listen, are ladies supposed to dress right? Don preached here a while back. You're getting tired of seeing, you know, the ladies with these low neck lines. I am too. I'm just sick of it. You want to show something off.
Yeah.
It goes for the men too. You keep yourself dressed.
Amen.
This ultimate fight. People know what the ultimate fight is? It's sickening. Going to beat one another up and people laugh and cheer and say hit them more and more and more, you know. I don't like fighting. Boxing's bad enough, let alone this ultimate fight. Get their arms broken. I've talked to some of them. You go in there bare fists, kick one another, hit one another, bloody their noses, and people sit around, oh, that's wonderful. Tattoos. What about tattoos? Should Christians go out and get a tattoo? What do you think? Neither. What about wearing shorts to church? You think they ought to come in shorts? Yay or nay? I don't want any shorts in the Lord's church. But they'll try you on it. I mean, the dress is coming down. What about immorality, drunkenness? What about violence? You know what Psalms 11:5 says? God says He hates the souls of those that love violence. I'm running out of time here, but I want to read this real quick. Thou dost destroy those who speak falsely. The Lord abhors. abhors the man of bloodshed and the, oh, let's see, I wanted 11. That was 5. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Well, there are a lot of violent games that these kids are playing. Yeah. You moms and dads, you better start monitoring it. There is absolutely no place for this kind of a game in a Christian home, which is Age of the Vampires. Does that belong in a Christian's home? No, it doesn't. If that's got violence on it, God hates it. And the Christian is to abstain from blood, yes or no. You know what vampires do? That's how they live. They come up with junk like, you know, he's getting weak and sickly because he doesn't have any blood. Well, that's true. That is a movie out there. It's just nonsense. I mean, these are just a few things. I don't know. We could probably think of a whole bunch more, couldn't we? Listen, we're trying to keep the church pure. You know what the world wants to do? They don't want to throw all the salt out, bring all the trash in. You know what my Bible says? If that salt loses its saltiness, it is good for what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now one thing, just to be trampled underfoot by men, and that's it. Church becomes lukewarm. You think the church at Laodicea was praying and studying the Bible? What do you think? The church at Laodicea, you think it was praying? Think they were studying the Bible? Says Jesus is going to spew them out of his mouth? I don't think so. Don't lose your salt, amen? You be men and you be women of prayer. You be the light of the world and love Bible preaching. Be a forgiving church as a whole. And I don't care what people say or what people do. You love the things of God. Well, I'm going to forgo the invitation here. I'm out of time. I'll turn it over to Brother Don.